You, oh, good job. Tell me what I need to know. How'd you guys do? Did good. Any questions? What questions do you have about eliciting toward and away from conflicts and then noticing the other types of conflicts inside the hierarchy? Yeah. Okay. What do you mean? Well, it's rapport, and then being, I think it's having a level of doggedness and persistence and commitment to getting that out. So it's like, and also part of that might be just having the understanding of the importance of it. So when you go, okay, hey, this is really important that I get everything there, and then being dogged, you know, being really persistent in really finding out what's underlying under that. Because what that's going to do is, from a transformation perspective, that's going to tell us everything that we have to work with. This is going to be the before photo for the client, because when they look at this and then they see what happens after their transformation, they're going to notice a big, huge shift. The more I can solidify the before picture in their own mind and in my mind, the more I'm going to be able to help them to transformation on the other side, as well as the more they're going to recognize the transformation when they come through it. It's like that before and after photo. So I look at this from both of those perspectives. I look at this as, hey, this is them first off seeing, yeah, hey, this really is what, you know, this is an accurate reflection of what's going on in my life. And afterwards they get to see, whoa, I've made some major shifts. That'll be the first from their perspective. And from my perspective, I say, okay, huh. Okay, I see exactly what I get to heal. People have been coming to me asking me, well, Chris, could you lay out for us a little bit more how to put these, how to throw these techniques together, where to use them, where. Our detailed personal history will help us to do that, but this is also going to help us to do that. Because now we can look at this and we go, there's certain things going on conflict-wise here. So, and I'm going to go over what interventions you'd use with what right here. So, but you, from, I think part of it's just the commitment. Like, you've got to, as you go into each exercise, I think there's a couple of things I've noticed so far. I've noticed sometimes if we take it a little bit flippantly, and I'm not saying this is you, I'm saying this for everybody here. If we take the exercise a little flippantly, then we're going to get flippant results on everything that we do, whether it be anchoring, whether it be parts integration, whether it be strategies, whatever intervention we're doing. If we take it flippantly, we'll get flippant results, you know? It's just kind of like the person who says, hopefully I'll change. Well, they're going to get hopeful results. They're going to get results that are indicative of the way that they're approaching it. So if we take the exercises that we're going into flippantly, we'll get flippant results. That's one thing that I've noticed. So we may want to step up and say, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to get the most out of this. I'm going to do it for real. And secondly, another thing that I've noticed, unrelated, but I've noticed that we could step up to a little bit more, is when we're the practitioner, let's let the, I'm sorry, when we're the client, let's let the practitioner do the work. Not you, I'm just saying this generally. Oh, did you really? I didn't even notice that specifically. But I am saying, when we're the client, what I don't want the client to do is analyze what's happening. Okay, instead, allow the practitioner to do what the practitioner is doing. Okay, so, because this is, I want the practitioner to have the learning experience of coaching, because what can happen at this point in the game is we're all developing a certain level of skill set. So we're going, well, I would do it a little bit differently this way, or I'd do it a little bit differently this way. Let all that go out the window when you're being the practitioner. When you're being the client. Just sit back and be the client and be a good client. And sometimes you're going to be really thrilled with your intervention, and other times you may go, okay, cool. So that one didn't go as well. Maybe I feel like I've got a little something going on there still. And then what you do is you go find somebody in the group that you've worked with before that you really felt that you got a good result with, and you say, hey, can you come in a little early in the morning? We'll meet in the morning and do a little practice together. You help me clear that little last bit. All right? So, but I think the best thing that we could do as the client is just sit back and allow the process to happen without overanalyzing what the practitioner is doing. Let the practitioner do their thing, and then if we still feel that we've got some stuff afterwards, rather than being a challenging or a difficult client for our practitioner, that'll come out if there's feedback on the other side. By the way, if the meta person is giving feedback, that stuff will wash out anyway. Then what we could do, rather than being challenging or difficult, we could go and find somebody that we feel real comfortable with and say, "Hey, I got a couple of things left. Would you mind meeting me a little early and we can go and we can work through that, or meet me a little after?" Yeah. Right. Right. Ah. So, okay, so what we should do then in that case is the meta person would then make some notes. So let's make it okay for the meta person to make some notes, and then the meta person can give that feedback afterwards, because we're going to start giving feedback like that. So that way we won't forget things. But from the practitioner perspective, the best thing to do would be to let the meta person and the practitioner, I'm sorry, for the client's perspective, it would be best to let the meta person and the practitioner coach them through it. That way we just keep the roles in the right place and we don't find ourselves, I think it gets a little sloppy as the clients will go doing, well, hey, do it this way and fix my problem this way and that way. But good point. So let's have, if you're the meta person or the observer, it'll be okay for you to write down a couple, jot down some notes and stuff so you can give your feedback sandwich afterwards and we can get the appropriate feedback. Good. Good. And it is a challenge. I mean, it's challenging as we're all learning and growing together. We're developing a certain skill level. I understand that it can be frustrating if you feel that somebody's not doing it exactly right when you're the practitioner. But let's just shake it out. Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. But I think that'll help our learning process. So I think if we do those two things, I think if we commit ourselves to the process and we do it for real, because remember, if we're flippant, we'll get flippant results. And if we, as the practitioner, we allow we allow the practitioner to be the practitioner, and we allow the observer to be the observer, and then we play the role of the client when we're the client and pretend that we don't know anything. It's a challenge, but I think it'll make everything flow smoother for everybody. But overall, we're doing great. That's my feedback sandwich. Okay. Yeah, we are doing great. I mean, look at how much you've learned so far. This is only what, day four? Is this day four? Yikes. It's like the trap door in your head's just kind of opened up and we're pouring this stuff in. But okay. So let's take a look at the types of conflicts again, and we'll just go, you recognized you began to look and you saw some toward versus away from conflicts. That's like the person that's moving toward money and away from poverty. And a toward away conflict would be, we would see that here on an individual value. On any individual value, we would see the toward away conflict if there was both toward and away from motivation present on that value. That would be an example of a toward away from conflict. That's the top one. Toward versus toward conflict would be money versus freedom. That's where the client just looks at their list and they go, well, yeah, freedom is in conflict with compensation or something like that. Or in this case, respect is in conflict with making a difference. That's where the client, you just turn the, and they say, oh, yeah, they notice those conflicts inherent within their own values hierarchy. And then the only difference would be if they said it was an away-away conflict, or if we determined that it was an away-away conflict, that just means that it would be just like a toward-toward conflict where they saw the conflict between two values, but the motivation on those values were primarily away from. Make sense? An away-from conflict would be just like a toward-toward conflict. So they go, oh, respect and making a difference are in conflict. But then if we look at the motivation behind those and we notice that they're both primarily away from, we call that an away-from conflict. Yeah. Now, there's a couple of ways. Let's talk about the various types of interventions that we would use in terms of clearing up the values hierarchy. I will oftentimes work with values when I'm doing coaching or doing some sort of a session with somebody. Oftentimes. Because it gives me a real nice roadmap in terms of what I get to do, especially in performance enhancement issues or things like that.